Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
VIP Play Tennessee is where I bet. And I got a bet in for tonight. I'm not going to reveal it because I don't want to influence Brad.
Oh, okay.
All right. But I have bet one of Oklahoma City or Minnesota.
Oh.
Okay. Mm. I bet one or the other.
All right.
On the point spread, not the money line, but the point spread. So we will get into that a little bit later in the show. But hit up VIP Play Tennessee. New customers bet $5, you get $100. Small ball that last year all summer. Got parlay profit boosts, college baseball, Major League Baseball, NBA, tons of specials. All you got to do is download the app VIP Play Tennessee, available in the App Store. Great app, and it's exclusive here in the state of Tennessee. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, so this is no AI. This is real. It's not Pooter Walker, but it is Curtis Givens III. He has announced this morning on his Instagram that he has committed to the University of Memphis. I am looking forward to Carlos Smith's breakdown of this whenever that comes. But in the meantime, in between time, I'll have to do it for him. Curtis Givens, 6'3", 6'4", guard, spent last year at LSU. His playing time was up and down as the team got into the end of the season and the end of SEC play. He was playing like 25, 30 minutes a game. I mean, he was... You know, I don't know. I wasn't as familiar. I don't know if they had like an injury or whatever the case may be, but he was playing a lot more at the end of the season, played, you know, 25 plus minutes against Auburn, against Florida. And so, you know, just great experience, really. I like the fact that he's bringing a winning pedigree, man. Like, take out last year at LSU, but before that, he was at Montverde with Cooper Flagg.
Mm-hmm.
I had the stat in one of my stories. I think Montverde was undefeated with him in the starting lineup. In his two seasons there. Now, obviously, again, it helps to have, you know, Cooper Flagg and all those guys. But he that's another part of his experience that we talked about, right? Like, he got a chance to play with that dude, yep. Number one pick in the draft. And so he's bringing that to the University of Memphis. He was ranked 39th coming out of high school, highest-ranked player from Memphis to commit to Memphis since 2015 with Dedrick Lawson. So, yes, this is an addition that I am pretty excited about, you know, just because, you know, he was already doing it in high school, right? Like, this wasn't a guy that, you know, was top 150, top 200, then went to LSU and just transferred. Like, he had the bona fides come out of high school, so I like that a lot. Again, he's going to have to earn it. There's no doubt. You know, I think the competition would be probably that two guard, you know, in the starting lineup. And, I mean, you mentioned it, ton of guards, man. You got Sincere Parker, you got Quante Berry, you got Julian Thedford. I'm sure I'm missing some guys here, but you have a lot of, you know, competition at that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gonna have to earn it. But you know, I think the thing that really excites me is the fact that he's a multi-year guy. He's undeniably talented, and Penny has done great with guards. in his time at Memphis. Like, I mean, you name it. Tyrese Hunter had his best year at Memphis. P.J. Haggerty had his best year at Memphis. Kendrick didn't have his best year at Memphis, but he was an All-American, right? I mean, he was an All-American caliber guard. You know, the list goes on and on. You know, Lester Quinones came here and got better year after year after year. So I'm excited about the prospects. I'm excited about the development. I'm hopeful that he'll get, you know, some meaningful playing time this year. At the absolute least, he'll be a guy that will be ready to take the reins in 2026, you know, back home. So, and I also think there's some room with NIL to get better for him as well. That's the other thing is, like, with PJ, you had to pay a little more on the front end. So, you know, how much more were you going to be willing? And in fairness, they were willing to go a lot. I mean, they were willing to get to $3 million. I don't know if you saw the Boogie Flan commitment today to Florida. We knew that was coming. But it's about $3 million. That's about what he's getting from Florida all in. And PJ basically said no to that at Memphis, you know. And Boogie Flan's a guy that was a first-round, you know, guy. So I think maybe PJ is getting a little bit of a reality check today, you know. I don't know what NC State's offering. I don't know, you know, what the situation is. But, you know, I think when it's all said and done, he's probably going to look at it and wish he took the offer from Memphis at the beginning and just took the $3 million, you know. I'm not going to, like, begrudge him for trying to, like, look, you know, but I think when it's all said and done, that's going to end up having been his best option, you know, if he doesn't stay in the draft. So, but for now, I think it's talent. Memphis needs more of it, and that's what Curtis Givens III represents, a Memphis native coming back home.
Yeah, I imagine with Doug McDaniel, like you said, that Curtis's best hope for playing time immediately is going to be off ball and having to, and I'm sure some with Doug on ball, but he's going to have to shoot the ball well.
Yep.
Playing off ball, being a difference maker defensively. He's got the body to do so. He's got the basketball IQ to do so. And then back to the point where we started their first hour, a guy that's making good decisions when he is on the ball, a guy that's not turning it over, somebody that Penny can trust. We saw last year when he brought in Dante Harris.
Yeah.
It helped just to be able to have someone not named Tyrese or PJ that could bring the ball up. And listen, occasionally he had his own struggles, but could bring the ball up, was experienced enough that you could trust him.
Yep.
You know, that's my hope for Curtis in the immediate. And then I think in the future as your you know, future point guard of your program, maybe in a lot of ways the guy that runs the thing. And so, again, I'm hopeful for now. I'm hopeful for later, but especially for later in terms of being the guy. Because I'm with you. I think having more Memphis, the right fits, the right guys, I think it will matter more to those guys in the way that it did to Alex Lomax, you know.
Yep.
That can help you. And so I think it's a good addition. Be nice to get some bigs now because you've got a lot of guards. But we've been sort of bracing for this.
Yep. Yep.
Curtis Givens coming.
Yep.
And looking at how this is going to work for a while now.
Yep.
So, yep. Like the fit. Hopefully it's going to be extended for multiple years. We'll put it that way.
To that point about the bigs, this Tafara Gapare guy from Maryland seems like that's going to happen. But, you know, it's not really ideal. You know, he's not bringing a lot of girth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to use that word. It's very graphic. But he's not bringing width and mass and size. He's just another sort of – he's kind of like Ahmad Bradshaw, right? Like he's – or Aaron Bradshaw, excuse me. Ahmad Bradshaw was my guy with the Giants, right? So I apologize. I always get those confused, yeah. Man. I loved him.
I thought he was
a good running back.
Yeah, Ahmad.
You know, my sincere apologies. But, yes, Aaron Bradshaw is, you know, tall, lengthy, rangy, big. You know, going to try to be above the rim. And I'm just looking at Kapari's highlights now. I mean, he's kind of the same. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. Like, you can kind of, you know, play it that way. But do I think that this guy is a true four? No. And you'll see. I mean, you'll see how, you know, he's just, you know, because you're going to have to slide him Aaron to the five. And I don't think that is ideal. I don't think that's where, he naturally wants to play because those guys tend to be heavier, you know? Like, that's why you would really need Dane is because he would allow Aaron to play sort of his more natural position to the four. Mm. Like, even though Aaron is 7'1", like, the book on Aaron is that he gets pushed around. You know, like he got pushed around the Big Ten. He got pushed around, you know, by the better bigs that he played in high school. So that's the issue. But if you don't get Dane another year, like it is what it is. You know, you have what you have, and you have to figure it out. You know, so I think that's going to be something that Penny has to navigate. But it does feel like Gapare right now is your starting four when he commits, the Maryland kid. And again, I don't know what he really, what you can expect out of him. He'll be on his fourth school in 4 years, right? So it's hard to know exactly, you know, how ready he'll be. He never really played a lot at Maryland last year. Super athletic. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that he jumps out at you. He's explosive, but, you know, he's not, you know, the big bulky four man that maybe you kind of wanted Memphis to go after. But that's what you'd be sort of looking at right now. It's hard to know. Like, I don't really know what to make of this Memphis team next year. AAC favorites, probably.
You can play small ball all you want to, and even in the AAC, it'll work on most nights. When you're playing Purdue and everybody else, you know, we saw it once Penny got Dame back in the starting lineup, but then as it really sort of came together at the end, it was having the inside-outside threat that opened things up for Memphis. And so if you're telling me that, you know, these bigs aren't going to be able to hold it down in there. And no, I'm not expecting anybody to come in here and do what Dane was doing at the end of the season last year. He's playing an All-American level. We've discussed that. But you need a threat in there offensively.
You got to have it.
Around the basket, or else it's going to be, again, it's guards. It's all, you know, you're going, you know, there's a lot of ISO in Penny's offense. Freedom is the word they would probably use. And we saw at times when they didn't have, whether it was Dane involved or whatever else, and you're just depending on putbacks, those kinds of, and long range shots.
Yep.
Well, one on one, okay, that offense got discombobulated. It was at its best.
Yep.
When it was inside outside, when you were working with Dane at a high level inside, and so hopefully out of all of this, whether it's the Maryland kid, Bradshaw, whatever else, or a somebody having to play up in a small ball rotation, you're going to need an offensive threat in there.
Yep.
For this thing to balance out and look as good at times as it did last year offensively. Obviously, the turnovers go without saying.
Yes.
Got to clean that up.
Yes. But, again, this is just one addition today. We'll see what Memphis does the rest of it. But a Memphis kid coming back home to Memphis, which is what we love to see. So, congrats to Curtis Givens, third, his family back home in Memphis, and obviously going to be gunning for, you know, a starting spot next year on the team.
Western Conference Final start tonight. You'll be able to hear him live here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tips at 7:30. Timberwolves at Thunder. Last I looked, OKC, a 7.5-point favorite tonight. That's probably moving a little bit. What I do know as of right this minute is that OKC is a minus 370 to win the series. That's over at FanDuel. Minnesota's plus 295 per ESPN Analytics. If you prefer that side of things, a little easier for you to digest. OKC has a 70% chance to win game one and an 83% chance to win the series. That's at least what the computers, what John's AI, what they're all thinking.
Carlos
Smith. As well as some Vegas in there as well, again, from the FanDuel. OKC's minus 370 and win this thing. It's going to take what John said with Jess, Jessica Benson. Just a monumental individual effort, in addition to a lot some other things from Anthony Edwards. He's going to have to come out. And this has been, First Take was doing it this morning, and I think Get Up as well, a sort of pitting of, in many ways, this matchup of the two, you know, best scorers in the league, frankly.
Yep.
And SGA and Anthony Edwards. But we know it's going to be a lot more than that. And particularly, I think we've hit a key, and John was the first to bring it up here. Minnesota, with the way that it is, you know, at times gotten sloppy with the ball. It doesn't take care of the ball. Sometimes it wins. Mm-hmm. It's just loose with it. A lot of, you know, we're just talking about the Tigers, those guys. Golden State has a tendency to get this way, though, and can win and do it. They come out of that system. But if you're doing that against OKC, you're playing right into their hands.
100%.
And that's the book on running offense against OKC. And everybody that we've watched, whether it's been Denver, that last game, 37 points off turnovers for OKC, or we saw it all day long, it felt like, in that series against us. This is where they really feast, and it's what gets them going, and particularly at home. And so if it's a Minnesota team that's coming in and not valuing possessions, not hoping to get this, have it somewhere around 100. Minnesota needs this series in the 90s, in the hundreds. If it's not, I think OKC's running away with this thing. You let their dogs get running, and they're going to run away with you and roll to the finals, it feels like. And so, again, matchup individually, yes, that'll be fun to see, fun to talk about. And obviously, it feels like a ton of pressure on Anthony Edwards just because with OKC, it's like Jess said, you know, yeah, SGA can go out and get you 35, but they can win big with him getting 20-something, Chet scoring, their other all-star, Jalen Williams is scoring. And so the pressure doesn't feel like it's necessarily as heavy on SGA's shoulders, although you're the best team in the league and you need to prove that you can get to the finals and all that,
yep.
as it feels like it is on Ants, because we come into this saying, oh, he's got to be great. There just isn't that level of depth in terms of the scores on the other side. That said, Ants had a good running mate in these playoffs. His name's been Julius Randle.
Yeah, yes.
A guy has come to play, and it's been a resurgence for him after a shaky start after the trade. He had to find himself in that offense, get comfortable, but he has. But even he, at times, has had a tendency to turn the ball over too much. So that's going to be the key going into this one. Clearly, the computers, ESPN Analytics, the Vegas, all think that's going to be pretty one-sided. We shall see what Ant's got in store.
Yeah, so a couple of things on this. It's a record gap between Oklahoma City and everybody else left in the playoffs, right? Oklahoma City's won at least 17 more games than any other team still in the playoffs, right? They're in the regular season. Even the Warriors, when they were 73-9, there was a 57-win Cleveland team. So that was only 16. Your Bulls, 72-win Bulls, only had an 8-game gap on Seattle, right? So you eliminate the 60-win teams that were in these playoffs, and then you have Oklahoma City and a six seed. What are they, a four seed, the Pacers? I think they're a four seed.
Four.
And then a three seed Knicks. So you already have that big gap. But to your point about the turnovers, saw a great piece from the Minnesota Post today. I believe it was a 2-2. It was 2-2 in the regular season, this series, for the Wolves and Thunder, which is a great sign, right? If you believe the Wolves can keep this series close and maybe win it. And there was one very, very stark difference in the games that the Timberwolves won and the games that the Timberwolves lost. In the games that they won, they only averaged about 11.5 turnovers a game. Mm-hmm. And in the games that they lost, in the two games that they lost, they committed 37 turnovers in two games, right? And gave up 25.5 points per game off turnovers. So you go from, you allow 25 points off the turnovers in the two wins, it doubles in the losses. And the turnovers basically double in the losses. So we talked about these turnovers. It is going to decide the series.
Yeah.
If Minnesota can somehow they got veteran ball handlers, bro.
But it's not just, okay, don't be as loose as you've been with the ball. It's the pressure that OKC in turn applies.
No, it's
both
of
those things, right? You got to clean it up in addition to what's coming. How physical
the NBA
allows them to play.
Yes.
They're number one in defense for a reason.
100%.
That pressure, it feels like it's relentless at times.
And again, they swing games with these turnovers that lead to threes or dunks or whatever. Like, they just, that's how they did the Nuggets on Sunday.
Wouldn't Chris Finch complain about this early in the year about what they get away with? Right? And so that team sort of, if you're feeling beat on or that should have been a foul, that's what was happening to Jokic in game 7. Oh, man, no, that should have been a foul. And they're running down on the other end because the NBA has – the refs haven't called it because they're so physical all the time.
Exactly.
And so if they got any of that in them, any of that whining, they didn't get a foul call, bro, get ready for that. You better dig in.
Yep.
Because arguing calls and whining is only going to get you beat. They're going to be down there scoring on the other end. That's the part about it is how much they frustrate you with the pressure.
Absolutely right.
And they seem like a team that's frustratable. They had Chris Finch frustrated.
Exactly. So if again, and it's a big ask, I mean, it's a big if, but if the Timberwolves can keep that under control and turn the ball over 10 to 12 times a game, very
two,
manageable.
Two games they did in the regular season, yeah.
If they can't, though, and we have seen them have big problems with the turnovers, they will lose this series expeditiously. I mean, it's just the truth. Because, I mean, it's not like the Wolves were some 65-win team here. I mean, they were a team that had, until the very end of the season, was like playing, you know? I mean, they turned it on at the right time. And look, some parts of that is, you know, that's what happens in the playoffs, right? Teams that are healthiest, that peak, like, sometimes you can be that team. But we know exactly what it's going to require for Minnesota to do this. I have not bet anything on the series. Like we talked about yesterday, you know, the only bet that I'm considering for the future is OKC to win the title. You know, a lot of sharp people I know have done that. There's also some disagreement on OKC, but, you know, I just don't really know what more you want to see from them at this point. Like, they've kind of proven everything that they could prove to this point. They swept the Grizzlies. They beat the Nuggets in seven in a very impressive fashion in that seventh game. You know, what more? You know, they were the second highest rated net team ever in the regular season. I mean, behind the freaking Bulls. Like, what? You know, at some point, you're kind of like just ignoring what's in front of you if you don't believe the OKC is going to win the championship. Especially because, like, as we know, the NBA playoffs is mostly not built for upsets. It's not, you know, there's seven games, man. You know, the home team that has home court usually wins it. It's what happens in game sevens. You know, Denver had home court against the Clippers. They won game seven. The Thunder had a home court against Denver. They won game seven. So, you know, it's just kind of built for that. But yeah, I will say I'm more excited about this series than I am tomorrow's series. I'm not really that juiced for Knicks Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. If those of us that, you know, can remember how intense those Pacers-Knicks games were when it was Reggie Miller out there, Larry Johnson out there, Big Pat out there. Yeah, there's a little bit of nostalgia, I suppose. And again, these two faced each other last year, and so this isn't something that's altogether new this year. And I think, you know, you'll get some of those old feelings back. I think the you know, Madison Square Garden being as lit and as electric as it's going to be will be enough of a draw and attraction to that series alone. The celebrities that'll be out there, like we saw, Chalamet's getting pulled out of the car. Like, you're seeing scenes out of the New York series that you're not going to see anywhere else in terms of excitement level and juice. And so, once it comes on, I think I'll be up for it, because back in the day, the West was sort of considered soft when it came to the NBA. The East was where you had the fights.
Yep.
The East was where, I mean, Reggie Miller scoring the whatever it was, 6-8 points in however many seconds, and then turning to Spike and doing the choke thing.
Yep.
Like, those were the days in terms of this rivalry right here. And yeah, it's a whole new cast of characters, likely to not be as much tension. I will just say it overall, the league ain't like that anymore like it used to be, where guys feel like that. I mean, John Starks headbutted Reggie Miller, man.
Yep.
Go look at the video. He literally headbutts the dude. And Reggie's cool. He's like, okay, y'all calling the foul or what? I mean, that's how it was. And so, you know, for those of us that are hoping it can get, you know, resemble that, yeah, I can buy into that. That's better than having a Cleveland in there. You know what I'm saying?
Especially
with the way Halliburton has pushed back on this overrated thing. They've played well. Y'all have got me respecting Indiana now. You guys are responsible for my, you know, raised level of respect for what Indiana's accomplished. The team that they are, it's not just an offensive team where everybody can shoot threes. I mean, they will D you up, and Halliburton has made defensive plays in these playoffs. And then they've got a championship coach in Rick Carlisle. And so I think this can be a better series, in that it can be more competitive. We can have a little bit more juice, because there's a good chance OKC's beating the Timberwolves in 5-6 games.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those wins are blowouts, because, again, one of their weaknesses is their inability to take care of the ball. That's OKC's strength.
Absolutely.
So my point, we could have a better series, even though maybe it doesn't look as fun because you don't have the top two scorers in the league. We could have a much better series in the East for a lot of reasons.
I saw a tweet going around. I'm going to put you on the spot, because I'll be honest, I can only do three. It was like the challenge was draft starting five with the four teams left. Like, who would your five be? My first three, my point guard and my wings, I felt like was pretty easy, but it was like I was running into it a little bit with the bigs.
Offer what you did.
So yeah. The only ones that I was sure about was I'm drafting Brunson at the point. He's running point for me. Shea's gonna be my two. Ant-Man's gonna be my three. That was easy. Then it's like, all right, like, yeah. Then I got to go through, like, all right, who am I playing at the five? You know, like, I can't get away with Chet at the five, probably. I mean, I guess it's possible,
yeah.
But am I drafting him at the five? Is he more of a natural four? Do I draft Cat? You know, like that's where, and I was like, do I draft a pacer at all? Am I drafting a pacer? I thought about Pascal Siakam, but I'm like, come on, man, like I can't. I don't think I can take Pascal over like the other bigs in the series. That's so.
It's tough to take a pacer.
It was incomplete.
I probably agree with that.
Like who would you? I think I'd probably have to go Cat the four, right? Like
him or Chet, I guess, or yeah.
I could do you could do Chet the four, Cat the five. But I'm gonna be kind of soft though. Inside, I'm gonna be a little soft.
Well, you could flip that and go Randle.
Right.
Yep.
I could do Randle at the four, and then Chet at the five. Yeah, I think.
Or Cat at the five to help offset the softness there. You there's no softness in Randle. You don't have to have Chet. He is awfully skinny.
Yeah.
Does at times still get pushed around? You don't have to have Chet Holmgren.
No, I appreciate you saying that, but you know, for us, it's very important to have Chet. You know what I mean? Is this very important to have him in that five? We wouldn't want to leave anybody out.
Got you.
You know? But, I mean, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it could go Randle and Cat.
If you want to get a little tougher in there. I don't know. Like you said, it might be tougher with Chet and Randle.
Yeah.
But Cat, for the most part, has performed pretty well when he's not crying about a finger that's not broken.
That's right. No, he has.
Again,
he's
had to toughen up because of the toughness around him. He doesn't have a choice.
And his offensive ability is like, I can't leave that on the table. Like the fact that he could pull from 35 and it's just pure. Like,
yeah.
I have to have him out there.
I mean, you could get that from Chet.
You can.
He's inside, outside.
You can.
But
a little less natural. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's close. It's very close. It's like Hartenstein we don't consider. You know, like, I kind of feel like he does a lot for them.
He does.
You know? But I think he's just a little too limited based on the offensive packages of the other players that are available. So, I think I'm going to go Chet, Cat. That's going to be my final Chet to four, Cat to five, and you know we'll live with the you know, we'll just outscore everybody.
That sounds good.
Would you go Randle, Cat?
Yeah.
But the first three's fine, right?
Yeah, I was thinking you could mess with that if you wanted to, but there's really no need. I mean, Brunson's got to be on it.
Yeah, like
and we know about the other two.
Rob's texting me. He's like, no Miles Turner. Like I can't draft a Pacer in the first five. Like I mean, I can have some Pacers on my bench, but I can't. I don't know how many players you'd have to go down before a Pacer even comes up.
You picked Chet and Cat.
Uh-huh.
Then he might be able to out-tough you inside with a couple of other picks, including Miles Turner.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he might be able to push you around inside.
Yeah, I mean, he could just draft the Pacers front court.
But you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to be physical with that squad. I think you got the right thing, probably.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, Brunson, Shea, and Anthony Edwards, I mean, we're scoring 145 a game.
I thought about Miles. Miles punked Jared Allen. I mean, he's played well in that Cleveland series, but
no, he can do both, too.
I'm not drafting him in my top five.
If we were charting a list, right, of every player in this series, what number would we have to get to in a ranking before we got to a Pacer? Would there be a Pacer in the top 10?
I mean, yeah, we're going to get one in the top 10, I think.
All right, well, let's do it.
That seems
all right, so
disrespectful to go without a top 10, one in the top 10. So Halliburton's played at a high level.
We got five already with five that I drafted.
Okay.
So we haven't gotten to, Bridges, you know, we got to get to Hartenstein, we got to get to Jalen Williams.
Yeah, but after your three guards that you've named, you need he's the best guard. I mean, unless you're just going to fill it up with forwards and bigs, Halliburton would be in the top 10.
I think he's probably top 10, yeah.
I mean, you had the three guards. They're all in your starting lineup.
Yeah.
You're not going to find another guard on those teams that you like better than – that's better than Halliburton.
Probably
and
so, not.
And maybe he comes – maybe it's like the Olympics and he doesn't play on your team.
Right.
But he's on there. You need a fourth guard. You can't have just three guards.
Yeah, because Jade McDaniels is more of a small forward.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a guard.
Again, you could fill up the rest of the team that way.
Yeah.
But all your starters are guards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you need a reserve in there.
Yeah.
Halliburton's going to make a 10.
Yeah.
To me, because I'm not going to have just
all
small forwards.
Well, he was on the Olympic team. Let's pray he makes the 10.
Didn't play.
Yeah.
To that point. But looks to me like he responded.
Yeah, he has. He absolutely has.
He's responded to all y'all and me.
But, like, Neesmith is a guy that I would never draft, yet he's going to make plays. Oh, we know that, you know?
Part of why that is Indy, it's so easy to underestimate them.
They are very underestimated.
But Neesmith was the one beating Donovan Mitchell to the goal on that game. Donovan had 48, dunking all over him, then getting Donovan to turn the ball over. You're the superstar face of the Cavs.
That's right.
It was Neesmith making the plays.
That's right.
In that series against him. Dude is a dog.
Yes.
And you need those.
Yes, absolutely. No, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a fun conference finals. And then, of course, we'll have the NBA finals starting June 5th. It gets underway tonight. You can catch it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, Jason, we're going to go ahead and sign you up for this. It's the Fanatics Games. It's Pros versus Joes. I didn't even know they did this. Apparently, it's the second annual time that they've done this. It's going to be from June 20th through the 22nd. I don't know how you qualify. It's not clear. But 50 athlete celebrities and influencers and 50 fans will compete. Okay, so fans submit video submissions through the Fanatics app. And basically what it boils down to is you'll have 8 sports-themed skills competitions that's going to measure quarterback skills, basketball shooting, soccer goal scoring, baseball pitching accuracy, hockey shooting challenge, a WWE superstar entrance, a UFC striking challenge, and a golf challenge. And first place in the standings, in the fan standings, wins $1 million. Second place, just a Ferrari, unfortunately. Oh, okay. Just a Ferrari. And third place wins a 2003-04 Topps Chrome Gold Refractor LeBron rookie card, numbered to 50 and graded 9.5, sold for about $200,000 last sale. So I didn't know they did this, but I don't know how they select people. But I mean, I remember they used to have there used to be a show on like, I don't know if it was ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever it was, but it was like Pros versus Joes, and it was just a TV show. It wasn't for money. But I love this idea. I don't know if it's going to be televised. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you're going to have to go to this damn thing in New York at the Fanatics Fest. But yeah, it's got Tom Brady's going to be in it. Jaden Daniels is going to be in it. C.J. Stroud, Micah Parsons, KD, James Harden, Draymond, Gronkowski, Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill. So you got some
star power.
You got some star power, and it sounds like you just submit your case on the Fanatics app for June 20th. I just wanted to put that on your desk in the event you wanted to go do like a around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Versus
sounds like they got great prizes that my gosh, the prize pool with the Lamborghini and the $1 million, or it's Ferrari.
Yeah, Ferrari. But that, I mean, my God. I mean if you get the Draymond draw,
you should enter yourself since you're still in your 30s.
You get the Draymond Green draw at around the world, you got a chance.
Got the 9.5, what was the third? 9.5 graded
that's
card,
right.
That's worth $200,000.
LeBron gold rookie. So yeah. I mean, I think it's not clear. I guess you have to do all of these. You can't just pick the ones you want to do. So that's how they come up with the point standings.
And versatile.
Yeah. But even if you don't finish in the top three, the fourth place fan will still get $100,000. I mean, so like this is a great.
Yeah, they'll have no shortage of contestants and entrants.
Yeah, like I just wonder how they select. They select people that look unathletic, that don't look like they can do this, or do they pick athletes? Is it a mix? I would be very curious to know. I just saw this today. I just saw it as we were talking, that this Fanatics Fest 2025 is debuting. Oh, this is the debut. So that Fanatics Fest is their second year. This is the first year they're doing this. So who knows how big it could be.
They got enough star power early on. Maybe it takes off.
Kevin Hart will be there. Drewski will be there.
Hart's overused.
Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to see this.
And iShow Speed.
Can't get them anywhere else.
iShow. Are you familiar with iShow Speed?
No.
He's like Kai Cenat a little bit.
Okay. I was going to say, if Kai's not there, then that's a...
Kai's doing Streamer University. He's occupied.
All right.
We'll be monitoring this one, see if it goes well, see if we can get some Memphis athletes in that thing next year, see if we get Ja Morant up there for 2026. But, yeah, it's New York from June 20th through the 22nd, so go put your apps in, Memphis. We want to see somebody from Memphis take this down.
So we are expecting some voting to happen. One that it's a big story. It's been discussed a lot today and has been this week about NFL players participating in flag football in the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. That is expected. It's expected to be ruled on and ruled for at some point today. I've been looking for it. Doesn't look like it's out yet. But this is from ESPN, and that's what people are telling. The insiders are telling Adam Schefter, and usually when they're telling Adam Schefter that, it's good. The resolution needs to be approved by at least 24 of the 32 owners. Well, what's that resolution? Clearly, Jason, here it's vote on whether to allow NFL players, I think it's one per team, to participate in flag football what, in 3 years in Los Angeles in the Olympics. Y'all know flag football is a popular, rising, growing sport, especially as parents sort of look to get their kids away from tackle football. And the NFL, if you haven't seen it, they've been sponsoring a ton of the world competitions, the national competitions. They've been all behind, and especially girls and young women's league. They've been all behind this. And so it's almost felt like, too, they're so far down the road in terms of investment in flag football and everything else that they kind of had to, I mean, I don't want to say have to agree to send an NFL player, but I mean, if you say, okay, well, we won't send any of ours, well, how truly invested are you in this? Clearly the owner's main concern is safety, and they're going to, when they go back to the players on this, in terms of the NFLPA, they're going to want some things worked out, permission for any player under NFL contract. Yes, you get one player per NFL team, no more than that. So there's no Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Okay, on America, there's only going to be one. And I suppose we've got enough NFL players where internationally you'll have guys that are maybe from the same team, from two different nations, maybe from the same NFL team, but from two different nations, so they'll both be qualified to play. This is what the owners want, a salary cap credit for any player who is injured, because that's going to be their concern again. If I'm Baltimore, I don't know how I feel about Lamar Jackson going over there. The guy gets his leg broken, so there goes my Super Bowl chances.
Yep.
But it appears, again, they're going to get enough of these votes. They need 24 of 32 that this is going to pass. One of the things that I wish would pass is but doesn't sound like it's going to, and according to Schefter, had less of a chance than the tush push getting banned, is the reseeding in the playoffs. This is Detroit's proposal, and to me, it makes too much common sense. I would use the example. There's no reason why a 10-7 NFC South champion should get a higher seed as a division winner, and let's see if you agree, right, than a Washington or a Dallas, will use the NFC East, that's 12-5 and in second place in the NFC East behind a Philly team that's 13-4, 14-3, whatever your record is.
Yep.
There is no reason why that second place NFC East team should not be seeded ahead of a champion 10-7 NFC South team that's still getting a higher seed just because
totally
it's
agree.
Division champ. It's common sense.
No,
I don't think this is Detroit whining. I think this is evolution.
I don't think it's controversial at all.
Just because you didn't win your division, well, you're penalizing the good divisions.
That's right.
That's what you're doing.
That's right.
With the way things are currently set up.
Yep.
You can have great teams, two, three teams possibly out of the same division could go and win a Super Bowl. That team deserves, if they've earned that
record. Why should the AFC South winner be seated ahead of the second place AFC West?
100%.
Team,
just whatever example you want, 100%.
But that would be oh my God, Houston. So Houston beats Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and the Titans.
It's a disservice, and really it is a penalty to the divisions that are better.
Yep.
It's a penalty to them.
Yep.
And especially those divisions where you've had two or three of them out of the division, a Washington that's gone out and beat just about everybody else that has played outside the division, and yet they're still below I keep using the NFC South because a lot of those 10-7s, when we had a 16-game season, you would get that division champion. That record would stand out. You would have wild card teams that were beneath them. I'm hopeful that at some point, it doesn't sound like it's going to be this go around.
Yep.
But I'm hopeful at some point we get to that one. And then tush push, if we get that, in addition to get that banned. Green Bay went back and reworded its proposal, which, according to Schefter and others, is what some other teams wanted to get behind it. Now, they still need that certain amount of votes, but that apparently felt closer than this receding proposal from Detroit that's new. But hopefully, sometime down the line, we will adopt this because it just makes too much sense to me.
100% agree. Yeah, and I'll be interested to see if they do end up outlawing that touch. It seems like there's way more chance of that happening than there ever was.
I don't know what the rewording. I think what the owners or whatever you were calling them these days, what they wanted was, let's just go back, reword it, say you can't push your own player.
Right.
Which has sort of been the way we've come up in football and sort of the rules for a while, man.
Yep.
I'm applying it in college and everything else. They just want it sort of written that way, and they seem like they said, you rewrite it that way, we'll get behind you. At least those were the reports. We'll see when we get the official vote. But Philly, you can't whine too much about it if it does indeed get banned.
Yeah.
There's a couple of reasons. You won a Super Bowl. It certainly helped you get there. And, yes, it's been an edge for you that you developed. Others have tried it. Jeff mentioned Buffalo has tried to do it. It's not the same. But the other part is it's not good for the NFL. It is not a good watch. The NFL is all about high scoring, you know, making it easier for receivers to get down the field. Don't touch them, quarterbacks not to get hit, because it wants points. It wants excitement. It wants explosiveness. Tush push has never been that. So let's ban the thing. Let's get it out. It's not good for the game. Hopefully that's where the owners are at on this. But the little NFL news in addition to, and I mentioned this yesterday after we talked about at the end of the show, Brock Purdy signing. What it did was leave enough to go out and get a guy who maybe even more important than Brock Purdy, although that QB is always going to be the most important. Fred Warner, 28 years old. They signed him up. Looked like last night or early this morning. He signed up, and I know you saw it too. Bears get Tooney, a two-year extension, the All-Pro coming over from Kansas City. They spent a fourth rounder on, very smart and needed. He was in the last year of that contract with KC. They traded him over for a fourth rounder. So some important signings for those teams that did. And you see Shadur's money?
I did.
Man. So Shadur literally lost tens of millions.
Yep.
If he had gone, you know, even in the second round, but the contract that he's getting from Cleveland as a fifth round pick, and listen, it's 4 years, it's a little over $4 million. They got five quarterbacks on the roster right now. They drafted Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shadur Sanders, so I don't even know that there's some promise that he's going to make this roster.
Definitely not.
When you spent a third rounder, if I'm not mistaken, on Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
So what are you saying in taking Shadur in the fifth? That you didn't care? That third rounder is not valuable? You couldn't spend that somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that level of investment, they're pretty high on Dylan Gabriel too.
Yep.
You're going to keep two rookie quarterbacks and ship off Pickett, who you actually spent some capital to trade for, or cut Flacco, who you brought in again and most seem to think is going to be the day one starter? Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We realize you got to do something, you know, while you pay off Deshaun. They're even talking about him coming back from this Achilles and being a factor in this five. So, Shadur gets four over 4.6 over four as a fifth-round pick. But, man, he cost himself big time. They showed, like Cam's money, you know, where those guys went, the signing bonuses in the, you know, millions. My tight end got a $16 million signing bonus. Shadur Sanders gets a $400,000 one.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Going into the day of the draft, we said maybe second round.
Yeah.
Right. He'll fall out of the first. Most have talked themselves into that. I think even Brugler, for his last one, had taken him out of the first round for his last one. But nobody was expecting him to fall as far as he did. He clearly hurt himself in some of the interviews. That's the word. If you go back and read the stories, we talked about it with Fitzy, who's plugged in. And, he's going to have to earn it a different way than he's ever had to now.
Yep.
No question about it.
No, there's no doubt.
You got all kinds of competition, and you're at the bottom.
Yep.
You're at the bottom of the bottom rung.
Bottom
of the
bottom.
Nothing's going to be handed to you.
Got to go earn it. Got to go earn it. All right, we'll come back. Fade Brad going to join us. We're going to do Fade Brad, who is rolling. He's rolling right now, 2-0 over the weekend. Got a game tonight. We'll get on that one. Minnesota OKC. What's Brad thinking? We'll do that when we get back. Jason and John.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Trying to FM, ESPN. You want to grow your wealth? Better rates on savings and checking? Well, Leaders Credit Union is here for you. They're here to help. You do just that. Boost your savings with a 3.75% APY on their Forward Plus High Yield Savings Account. You want to earn more on your checking? Their Champions Rewards checking account offers 4% APY. Don't wait to invest in your financial journey. Do it now. Visit leadercu.com/ESPN to learn more. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial champion. Well, obviously, we are getting down to the end of this thing in the NBA playoffs as the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals are both set. Maximum remaining games would be 21. That'd be the absolute most we could have with the rest of the playoffs. It seems unlikely that we get 21 games. And so, look, we're in the home stretch of this thing. And to Brad's credit, he bounced back from a bad year last year. And he is now up about six and a half units. Still down over 2 years, but obviously if you're a listener that didn't take advantage of it last year, you know, it's tough. Yeah. It's a tough go. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
All right? That's just the way the cookie – we don't guarantee results.
It's integrity.
You know, it's integrity picks. I'm not going to sit here and make it a radio bit.
Sometimes, this is just the truth, sometimes you can have a pair of aces. You can get it in pre-flop, and you lose the hand.
Facts.
Right? All you can do is make the best decision that you with all the information that you have available at that time. And I don't think Brad is a sharp NBA bettor all of a sudden.
No.
I think he's just he's on the right side of
he's
things.
He's lucked out.
Right? Jason, what's his record through?
30-22.
30-22 through the
impressive,
second round of the NBA playoffs. So, all right, if you are a $100 bettor, that means you would be up about $580.
One thing I think that has happened here, and it's all luck and random, is the spreads, when they've been beat, most of this postseason. In other words, like look at, for example, the last Nuggets game, game seven against, you know, when the thing
was destruction.
Yeah, when it's over, that son of a gun's over.
That is typically a rule I like to abide by when I'm betting NBA is if I like an underdog against the spread,
right,
I better like them on the money line.
Right.
Because the games where these are falling, the underdog's losing by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points, few and far between.
Right.
They're either winning the game outright or they're just getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what you kind of have to take into account.
Especially
here.
This year, it seems like, more so.
Like, I can count on probably two hands the amount of underdogs that have lost the game but covered the number.
Yep.
Right? And maybe that's not necessarily different than every other year, but it just feels like if you like a dog, just pick a money line, right? You'll get more money if you win, and if you lose, you'll lose less money. So
most recently, one that I was seriously wrong about was the Boston Celtics coming back home and winning that game before ultimately losing game seven.
You know, but you were correct in game six, though.
Six, I should say. Yeah,
yeah, you got that one right. So
they took care of business there.
You went 2-0. So without further ado, only one game. I think we've given Brad ample time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've done you a solid. Not that you need it this year.
Jason did some prep in that noon hour. I was listening. You know.
Oh, he was peeping.
Yeah, there's some tips. There were some tips.
You gave away some games.
I didn't mean
Jason.
To do that.
No,
but at this point,
I mean, this is we know these teams very well at this point.
I think very few are fading you at this point. To be honest, yeah. They're probably tailing you at this point.
Yeah, they probably are.
Well, smart listeners.
He stopped checking the injury report, Jason. I mean,
I actually did stop checking. I went other direction with it, like just looking at lines.
I think the injury report really flustered you last year. This year, you know, you just kind of ignored it. So
yeah, well, and it was pretty obvious when Tatum's out. Yep. I think I'm going with the Knicks, and I went with them twice. They won one, they lost one.
I think you bet the Knicks every game this year.
I did like the Knicks. I like the Pacers, too.
I think he bet them every game against, who was their first round? I
don't like it.
Knicks and, let me go back.
Who the hell was it?
Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think you bet the Knicks every game in the playoffs.
I went with the experience there, and I really like hardcore players, and I think Brunson. Well, I think that's what you're seeing in these playoffs. Like, these dudes that are these gritty-ass Jalen Brunson-style players, I don't think Tyrese is in that conversation, but, like, you know, the hardy players seem to be doing well.
Well, without further ado, let's do the May 20th edition of Fade Brad. All right, one game tonight, and, of course, we'll do the Eastern Conference version of this tomorrow, one game tonight, it is the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City has disposed of the Denver Nuggets in seven. Minnesota been kind of chilling. They've been kind of waiting for that series to end, and they now travel to Oklahoma City. 7:30 p.m., catch it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. OKC minus 6.5-point favorite.
All right, so I'm rooting for Mike Conley and the Timberwolves. Let me just be really clear about that. When I am watching this game tonight, and I'll be watching it and listening on the radio to 92.9, I will be rooting for Mike Conley. And I've just made that decision. I'm over the Oklahoma
City. I need him
City.
To be big.
Yes.
Take care of the ball.
And he's had a hell of a role, actually, for old-ass Mike Conley. But nonetheless, that ain't going to do it. I did see this number start at 7.5, as Jason pointed out earlier. It's moved to 6.5. And they're trying to get you to bet on them damn Timberwolves. But I ain't betting on Timberwolves. We're going Oklahoma City minus 6.5.
It's very fascinating to hear the logic play out in real time, right? Mm. Because I mean this sincerely. I truly have no idea where it's going next. It's like a
the analysis is not crafted well. I give you that.
No,
man.
it's like a madman's manifesto. It's like I'm rooting for Mike Conley, but I see the number has come down. They want you to bet the Timberwolves. You know, it doesn't matter. Your picks, not mine. But he has gone with the Oklahoma City Thunder minus 6.5. Yeah. It's minus 115 over at ESPN Bet, which is going to be the best price on OKC, I will tell you that.
Oh.
I did bet Minnesota this morning. I bet Minnesota with the points.
What number did you get?
Plus 7.5.
Okay.
That was at VIP Play Tennessee. They had the best price. I believe they still have the best price because it's mostly 6.5 or 7.
Yeah.
You can still get 7.5 at VIP Play Tennessee if you want Minnesota.
There you go.
Honestly, it's not much more than two things. One, I saw the move to 7 as it happened. That's pretty sharp on game day, right?
Yep.
You see the go from 7.5 to 7. It's a lot of money influencing that move. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I think about that Raheem Palmer stat. Teams that are coming off of the 7-game series, right? I know that this OKC team is younger, and so maybe it won't have as much of an impact, but you know, I do think that the rest advantage will be a benefit for Minnesota tonight. And I think, you know, OKC is still, you know, this is a stage they've never been on.
Oklahoma City.
I mean, that's the truth.
Has lost 6 games at home this year.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, they're unbelievable. With that being said, they can win the game all they want. I don't care.
Just cover that points. It's seven, a lot of points. So,
you know,
I agree.
I mean? That's been your hallmark this year.
I know that has been points. My signature in these you playoffs. Know? But I watched that game 7 against the Nuggets, and I thought if any team that it's
looking for a job is lonely, endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more.
The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.